Yes.
We see some, familiar faces, we see some. New faces? And we see some faces from the past. Al Borgadine is here, who's one of the, Kirkco had its first meeting, him and Al Borgadine was one of the members, legal practice for Baytown, continuing on, Al stands up. He's one of the guys on the original baseline tape. So, that goes back to 1982, then. Every time somebody writes about us in a book, about 400 people who quit the methodology because it wouldn't work, come back. Any of you overweight? Anybody want a diet? What you do is you get renal failure, and you go to the hospital, and 5 days you lose 17 pounds. Do it only once, though. And then the bad part about it is if you live on lettuce and cucumber, I don't know how long. We had a meeting in Kirkco, people over at the house last night, Mary, Jones, Tom, Dick, no Harry, Spencer, Tom, Dick, Spencer, of course, our special guest, Jim Bradshaw. And in order to make room in our freezer for cucumbers, lettuce, an occasional artichoke heart, what else can I have? We had to get rid of all the crab, lobster, shrimp. These guys are eating all that stuff. They're nibbling on the lettuce meat. But! So that's how you do it. Get a little renal failure. You go down 17 pounds. It beats Jenny Craig all around. Plus about $1,200 a day. But outside of that, it's fine. Speaking of costing $1,200 a day, does your paper say anything about the recession this year? My Riverside Enterprise, the business section, seems to love to try to dip us into the depths of despair. They don't mind using the R word. In 1988, you'll all recall that we started publishing in the follow-up predictions that in 1990 we would have a recession. Well, we almost didn't make it for 1990, but I hate to say that the predictions were correct. They were.
Yeah.
At that time, we launched a campaign that says, let's get serious. Our diatribes against those who did not get serious probably do not belong in this room because most of you are doing very, very well. However, the handicapping public in general, and to our clients who have not been able to make a living at this, now is certainly the time to get serious. So today, we're going to mix doing today some of today's races from the kinetic generator, along with some very sage advice from Marion, Dick, Tom, and Jim. On some of the defect. Were you here when I had you stand up? Standing up now. There you go. One of the original Kirkco members on the original baseline tape. The guy is fun of really great. What we decided last night was that a lot of our people. Been demonstrated can do it, have the ability, have the skill, but fall to pieces after a loss or two, and especially after three. Over the years, I've said, almost speaking to myself at the beginning of virtually all of this, winning and or losing or breaking even or whichever path you chose was based on the psychological aspects that were within you to control, not within a methodology to control. Those of you who took it seriously are making serious return on investment. How much you bet is of no interest to me. It's your return on investment. You only bet $20 a day. If you make 10, you have a 50% return on investment. That is satisfactory. However, For those of you who are in any kind of economic turmoil, might be affected by a recession. I would advise very, very much that you pay attention to what's in yourself and not what's in the method. The method right now is producing the kinds of results that Jimmy says, by the time we started bragging, Harv. I thought we'd been bragging before, but Jimmy was really on a bragging jagging last night. I can see his reason. Jimmy takes people under his wing in Oklahoma or wherever he goes, nurtures them through this, not just to be winners of races, but to be winners in life, by his example. They say, well, they see Jimmy's behavior pattern, and he's not alone in this. They see Marion's and Dick Schmidt's stoic, not a stoic, but a baby, but Dick Schmidt's a stoic. He just bets those tickets, calls for a $600 bet in the next race. He bets the $600 whether he's lost three in a row, two in a row, or none at all. And that's why he makes, what, $8,000 when the rest of us will make $800. It doesn't matter how much. It's the point that you've got the tools. Now it's within you. We've always tried to help you. To that end, I am no longer going to be able to down and spend 5-6 hours a day going over people's lost races. I'm going to devote all my time to research and development of new programs and in personal counseling. From now on, I will do no handicapping help whatsoever in the form of answering stupid, and they are stupid now, folks, handicapping questions. I will henceforth concentrate on the real problem of our clients, which is right up here. Their inability to handle the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow we finally provided for them. Their inability to handle it and do it right. Marion Jones will tell you some wild stories today, as will the others, about what people do with their tools to guarantee their own losing. Absolutely as if they have a death wish, as if they intend to lose, wanted to lose, they do things right in front of him. He's got the winner. They said, well, how come you didn't have it? He will, I'll marry and tell you. In Iowa. While we heard a lot of negatives last night up at the house, we talked about the people with the problems, we constantly turned the coin over and looked at those without the problems, those who had mastered the problems. And those, most of you, fall into that category. That's because you have steadfastly pursued this methodology, come to these classes, purchased the proper programs and books, and have kept up and kept your curiosity alive, and have admitted, every one of the people I know who is winning consistently has admitted to themselves first, which is most important, that the problem was not in their method, but it was in themselves, it's in their mind. Otherwise, how can we have a report where a man says help and he shows he's not doing anything, and we have from a very mild-mannered person who does not give you the impression of being a bombastic, dynamic, overwhelming winner? Albert, stand up. Does he look like an Andy Beyer or No. Under this disguise of timidity is a man who just handed me a report, which he won 8 out of 10 of his races using a kinetic generator. He's got the winner in a 10 race cycle here. In all but one race, he shows up in one column. He chose not to bet one of the others because somebody was... Well, 8 out of 10, and these mutuals are pretty good. They go from a low $4, and there's always a $4 one in there somewhere. Actually, $460, $1060, $1060, $2160, $1640, and $720. You've got a winner in all 10, didn't you?
I had the winner in the top three in all 10 races, yeah.
Great, I thought when you said 8, I said, yes, you do. Good. And that's That's not untypical. Problem is that he bet properly, sitting there, saying, what do I do? That's the sequel. I'll think for Marion has some choice stories about people who have it there, but didn't bet it because of, well, but the other because he was on, had a hot jockey, or a live trainer, or a tip, or something he read, and people are still doing it. How many of you still behave and think as a gambler? I'm talking to the wrong group. How many of you are lying? We have, I hope that this recession doesn't last long, but I hope that it serves to make you think very seriously. But if this, if you lose your job, or what the experts predict is not so much losing, not working, it's working at a lesser pay, longer hours. Or there'll be jobs, but they won't pay as much, and you'll have to work harder to get the money. You never get the money that you got during the fabulous 80s. I'm sitting at home in bed. I read all the Newsweeks and Businessweeks and all the magazines that they can pour down my throat, the newspapers even. And recession times have kind of been thrown upon us, not just by accident, but by pretty much by design, keep the labor force hungry and willing to work for less. Some of you are retired, some of you are in medical professions and other professions that are not going to be touched by it. I'm talking to those who are touched by it and whose wives will be touched by it. You cannot, you have any possible feeling of remorse about this if you stop gambling and start investing in the racetrack. The cash flow there is the greatest thing in the world. The problem we've had with our younger people in the roaring 80s was that a couple of $100 a day was nothing. Nothing. If I can't make a big bundle, I want, you know, plunge and make over the big bucks. Folks, an extra $200-$300 a day never hurt anybody. And those who cast aspersions at because they were making $50,000 and $60,000 a year, who are no longer making $50,000 and $60,000 a year, will find $200 and $300 a day very, very handy. So this is not gambling unless you make it so. The tragic thing is, and we have seen over the years, is that those who continue to make this into a gambling event, who continue to respond as if it were gambling, continue to have the horses and fail to bet them properly, continue to make flyer bets on horses that have no chance, continue to do all the things that they did before we met them, even though they have the winner. The others who've got their heads on straight, who have come to accept this not as a gambling event but as an investment opportunity, those others are quietly happily making a lot of money. This gentleman here is a pride and joy. He and Jay, he's a Filipino descent, as is Jay. And sure nice to meet a bright Filipino gentleman. Now, it's remarkable what some people can do. And he's young. Usually the young ones are the ones who go up half five. This fellow, stand up, Jesse. There's an example for you. Right from the beginning, Jesse has made a bundle for this and continues to come back and learn and go more. And he knows that this is his life. Racing is the only job he had. You know, have you ever had any other kind of job, Jesse?
Yes.
I have. But this is what you've been doing now exclusively, what, for 2 years?
Yes, I have. I was working with Thorograph before, but I have a sad story, unfortunately, to say, but I want to make a quick testimonial.
I didn't want to say you were thoroughbred, because I didn't know you weren't.
I did this profession, well, my intention was I was working with Thoragraph for approximately 3 years in California. We provide speed figures, which is pretty precise, in my opinion, compared to what we have out in the market today. There are only two people that are making it. They are both based in New York. I was working for them for 3 years, and on the side, betting. And then I met Dr. Sargon, and I was impressed with what he's got. So I sent him a letter and said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play professionally. And I went about it, and I was going home. As a matter of fact, I think I called Dick Schmidt one day crying over his shoulder because I had three straight losers in a row. And what the hell are you talking about? You can't see the winners, you know? And it was the odd thing was that everything went okay, and then all of a sudden I reverted back to my old thinking. And my testimony was I just tapped out recently. Okay. It's not an easy game. And it's not the handicapping tool, just like you said. It's basically, it's in the mind, and I still have a lot of work on that. My personality and so forth, my old ways of thinking has got to be changed. I got to be reprogrammed, and that's why I'm here to absorb as much as I can, psychologically. I can say anybody can pick up the form, and handicap can make money from it. It's how you play it, and how you attack it, and through the mind. This is my hurdle. And I think that's the main problem for most of the professionals that I've been coming across or have come across. And they defeated that, that one thing. And that's why I want to sort of just one second on what he's got to say. And what they have got to say. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you, Jesse. Jesse learned that very quickly. Some of our people are not learning yet. They're much older, and theoretically they should be much wiser. Yeah, I think that perhaps Jesse has a piece of background that some of you don't have. For 3 years, he lived exclusively, job-wise, with the so-called professionals. Now, one thing that you people don't seem to understand about yourselves, your win percentage, your return on investment is higher than any professional I have ever met. What was your boss telling people that a 5% ROI was good? Okay. As you know, Thoragraph is a pirated version of Glenn Ragusan's figures in New York. Thoragraph is most heralded. Thoragraph, along with Ragusan, the most heralded of all of the highly sophisticated figures. And yet, a 5% return on investment in a lecture in front of handicap was considered good. Well, Dick Schmidt will tell you that somebody was thinking a 2% return on investment was good. Now, that means for a 5% return, what are these guys betting? They must be betting $1,000 a race right now. They're betting. There's this fellow to tell you, but they're betting $1,000, $2,000 a race, getting a 5% return on investment. That means if they bet 7 races, they make $350 a day. And 700, they're betting $2,000. None of you are betting anywhere close to that, are you? We have some closet anti-buyers in the room. None of you are betting it. Show this report to James Quinn, Andy Beyer, William Quirin, Steve Davidovitz, you name them, and they will say this is a patent lie produced purely to, what do they call me, a mind bender, or what am I supposed to be, a brainwasher? Did I brainwash you? Is this report a result of brainwashing?
No, it certainly isn't.
Well, it's a result of brain cleansing, maybe.
Possibly.
But not brainwashing. They will not believe the results that the least of you are getting. Have you thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? How many of you have it in? When you read these books, you hear about the experts, how many have you a little inferiority complex? Boy, I wish I could be like those guys, huh? How many really? Come on, I did. Did it?
I used to.
Until I met him in 1984. And I was astounded. Utterly astounded at their low wind proficiency and low ROI. You read the book, Mark Kramer's book, and Dick Mitchell's thing on the back, that said he had an astounding 6-week run of 32% return on investment, which is unheard of for any professional handicapper. And our average person does 49% return on investment. I don't give a damn whether they believe us or not. The important thing is that you believe it and understand that it's better than the best of the professionals. So where do we go wrong? Why are these professionals professionals, and why do they write books, and why are they speakers at conventions? Why is their name in the paper and yours isn't? The simple answer is, other than the fact that we get their bankroll from breakfast seminars for the basis. The more simple answer to that is they know how to capitalize on the wins they do get. We don't. We have a few losses and we pull in our horns. They have 17 losses in a row and think nothing of it, they say. I think they all have ulcers and hemorrhoids. They say it doesn't bother them. Well, I wouldn't bother. I guess if you have a breakfast before the track and you get $400 or $500 and that's all you're going to invest in all that day or something, I suppose that would keep you in clover for a while. But they still do make money. And they do because they bet properly on their tools that they have. Their tools point out a winner. Standout winner every 10 or 12 races. Our tools present a standout winner in about every 3 races. I'm talking about something over $7. And yet, we are the most fragile of handicappers of any group in the country. Mitchell's group, I say this in not with any despair of Mitchell. In fact, I think he's probably much smarter than I am, that he gets the kinds of people who come to his seminars and they'll start with a $200 and they'll up at 50% each time until they hit a winner and go home. His money management at seminars is this. You start with a base, and every time you lose, the next bet is tailored to what you would have bet if you had won the race. So it goes escalates. All they need is one $12 winner in a 2-day seminar to make money. One guy was down $5,000, who was from Canada. The next bet was supposed to be $2,000. He wired, got the money, fortunately won it, bailed out. We don't, do any of us have this kind of, oops, what do you call it? I don't. You. Any of you do? Okay.
Well, that would give you ulcers fast.
There must have been a very ulcerated group. There are those kinds of people, but those kinds of people, the gambler will do this. The gambler, the compulsive gambler will make these kinds of bets. We do not want compulsive gamblers. The sad end of that is that it's tragic. It's worse than alcohol. At least not one was in the other buzz. There you go. That was my problem. Drank too much milk. Can you imagine that? All my heroes, Errol Flynn, John Barrymore, Hemingway, all those guys that drank, they drank themselves to death. I'm diagnosed as having drunk too much milk. You know? What a wimpy way. I tried though. Watching those guys drink last night. Disgusting people come out to eat shellfish and
drink booze. Oh, you poor people. Welcome to the life of water and cucumbers.
You can do it. Any of you have any comments on that before we get to the part that you really want to hear? Trust me, how many of you realize this now? The real problem is, how many of you really realize it? But I'm really talking to the wrong group, I'm just rehearsing. At seminars, we have entirely a different. About 60% of people who go to seminars still think that it's an information based situation. All you need is more information to get these hecklers. Oh, cut out all that stuff. Too much of that. You can't get too much of that. You've got the tools. How many of you do not have the kinetic generator or are not familiar with this? Well, there are a few here. This is a third class of Jim Bradshaw. We had a 2-week session plan, and it wasn't enough. People wanted to come back, so this is Jim's third appearance here in Beaumont by popular demand. How many of you noticed that you paid $15 more for Jim than you paid for anybody else? Anybody actually noticed? Nobody ever has mentioned it. Nobody's ever complained. So that must be a tribute to Jimmy. But see, in order to get out of here, Jimmy had to buy $1,000 worth of t-shirts. So. He has expenses. $350 airline ticket and $1,000 worth of t-shirts. Well, when he wins, he has a fan club that surrounds him wherever he goes. And he wins, and they say, oh, Jimmy, I want to buy me a t-shirt. And he bought a t-shirt for every member of his fan club, $32 a pop. How many do you have? What, 50 fans or 20 fans? A lot of them, isn't it?
20.
20 times 32. Not quite $1,000. Some of the things we'll get today, other than each one of these gentlemen in their approach to you, is going to talk about some of the things they did last night. It was a very stimulating, first time I've ever been with all five of these guys without having a drink. And it was more stimulating that way. But I didn't say anything. They said some very, very stimulating and interesting things last night. They're going to interweave their observations about the problems you have, we all have, we all face it. Along with their information, it would be a real good day. How many of you were here for one or more of the other sessions with Jimmy? It's like a Frank Sinatra concert. Coming back for more. We will go over a few pass races and demonstrate phase races. And we'll go over them in sequence. We will not pick and choose the races we go over. You just take them. Not every non-main race you can find. We don't like to do that. Now, I want to draw a delineation here that is very, 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 very important. Beginning with Seattle last July, going through Kansas City, Saratoga, and our Oklahoma seminar, we discovered the fragility of our clients in that when we have a wide range of speakers, if they do not all agree, it throws the client into a tizzy. How many of you have been confused and upset by the fact that all the speakers have not agreed that one will say, well, I don't do it that way? How many of you, really, truly, how many of you have been upset? Not as many here. Anybody lying? Nobody's ever been upset by the fact that one speaker does it one way and
One does it another way, and the guy says, I don't do it that way. Nobody's ever done that before.
Around the nation, that was the chief cause of upset. The biggest, remember when the Roman Catholic Church consisted of the Vatican and Rome, the Constantine Pope in Constantinople, which is now Istanbul, not Constantinople. There are two divisions of the Roman Catholic Church. Each had its own pope. The Pope of Constantine, of course, became the Orthodox Church, broke away from Rome. We have two factions within our own organization, all believing in a unified God, maybe, but two totally different approaches to any case. It's not an antagonism, not any animosity involved. They're two distinctly different approaches. One is best represented by Tom Brohammer, who's about to achieve worldwide fame with his book. And the other, let's call him the thesis, and we'll call Jim Bradshaw the hypothesis, because he is so far, they are polarized. I'm theoretically the synthesis, I'm in the middle, at least in public stance. Nothing is wrong with either approach. If you are want to do it the Brohammer way, then you must do it the Brohammer way. You must make and use variants. You must understand par times. You must understand a myriad of things, factors, that are carryovers from mainstream handicapping, and you must do that kind of work on a daily basis in order to emulate the success of Brohammer. And when you read his book, you will have to thoroughly understand, comprehend, and do those things in his book. Now, how many of you prefer that school of thought? Then we welcome you here, but you will probably leave still having that school of thought, but thank God the man who raised his hand can afford the $60. This is not for you. Yes, sir.
You've always had two camps, phase three and ultras camps.
Yeah. I've always had two camps, but never as seemingly divisive as it is now. I'm singing the praises of both camps because it's something for everyone. Some of you cannot possibly, I don't necessarily you, each one of you has doubts in his mind who didn't raise his hand too. Each one of you is confused, I know. How many of you are willing to do the work that required of a Brohammer approach? Okay, now if Brohammer were here, I'd be saying the same thing. So don't anybody go tell Tom Brohammer, start making fun of you, or not mocking you in the class. He knows this. You do it in his presence. He knows it's two different schools of thought. If the facts and figures produced by that kind of handicapping are essential to you, then you should pursue that particular avenue. That is for you. However, most of you, or you wouldn't be here, because we had Brohammer for 3 weeks, Bradshaw now for 3 weeks, and it's pretty much a different audience. You should follow the procedure, the course, or the poll which fits your personality. The person who says, I've got KGN, but I can't attempt what it means, and they got a line, it's one on top, one's on. They can't understand that, and they shouldn't try to use gauge in. You cannot interpret the readings of energy and gauge in. It's not because you can't, it's because you won't. There's nothing we can't do, things we won't do, and we have a resistance to this particular advanced technology we call non-linear handicap. So if you have a resistance to it, and the other works for you, then you should go with that. I will warn you, however, as with Tom Rohammer, that your mutuals will be lower. He will be the first to warn you of that. What happens when I hope 50,000 people buy book? What happens when everybody has already stolen, pirated, or come up with by sheer coincidence phase three approach? What happened to Andy Byers' peak figure? $12 horses started paying $485.20. So, any approach which is easily understandable gradually becomes easily understandable to the masses who are your competition. Nonlinear handicapping is 20 years away at the least from being comprehensible to the public. So you have, most of you, except for those who raise their hands, have made a new choice, a different choice. But do so without disdain, or without thinking that we have disdain or any animosity toward those who wish to remain with a semi-mainstream usage of handicapping information. No animosity. There is tradition. There is yesterday, there is today, there is tomorrow. Having a limited number of tomorrows, I want to live each tomorrow if it were today, as does Jim Bradshaw, as does Tom Hamilton and Dick Smith, and Marion Jones, who will be instructing you today. We don't expect them to have too much sympathy for Dick, though. Dick's Mr. in between. Dick can do it anyway. I mean, you can talk about it anyway, but when it comes to handicapping, he does it the non-linear way. Any questions from you new people who have not been before about what the difference between linear and non-linear handicapping? No questions?
I'm pretty much a novice now.
Okay.
I just started.
People want to raise their hands, so don't do that.
I just started down with phase three. But listening to you now, you're talking about the non-linear, linear, non-linear, quant handicapping. That means I put my phase three aside?
No. You should learn phase three thoroughly. Understand what it gives you.
Yes.
It is linear, but it is advanced linear. Linear really means that one is better than four. If one is better than four, then two is better than four, isn't it? If three is better than four, then one is better than three, right? Not necessarily. Bradshaw read the phase three manual and the one is known as the Pink Manual. Well, the dynamics of energy and deceleration took it to heart and has furthered it far beyond what we initially did. The essential difference between what you are doing and what you'll be doing today, what we do, and what mainstream handicappers and what the bulk of handicappers do is that we handicap races, they handicap horses. You all see the very not so subtle difference between the two. When you handicap horses, as they do, as Thoroughbred did, which is its main drawback, the main drawback of Ragus, openly says, I don't look at the other horse in the race, I just look at what this horse can do. On any given day, and we're not concerned with the secretariats and the Aladars and on the big name horses, we consider most people to be claiming allowance for it, but on any given day, the matchup of the horses will determine whether four is better than one or one is better than three. We must learn to understand that. A horse who's a world beater by himself, who would be on the leaning edge of Thoroughgraph's highest numbers, facing a rather common horse who has a certain characteristic, would lose to that characteristic. You all understand that? You all understand that a horse that can run a 21-3 first fraction and who can get away with a 26-3 fraction because he's put everybody away is a standout horse until some horse that plods along comes up with a 23 closing fraction or makes a 22-1 turn time move again. It is the matchup and not the horse. Even Secretariat was beaten. Study those races, you would find out why the secretary could not stand the particular quaintness, uniqueness of the matchup that faced those two. That is true with every horse. Unbridled wins the classic. Not because Unbridled is the greatest, but because Unbridled can always close when the front end collapses. Particular situation of the Breeders' Cup Classic was that nervous jockeys, everybody trying to stay trouble out there, catch the lead. You see it happen. You see it before the fact. This was Unbridled's chance. Those of us who never bet on Unbridled except in the Derby, never bet on him again except the plays, bet on him to win that race because we saw what was going to happen to him in that race, what happened to him in the Derby, the matchup in front of him collapsed. When you build a horse's to watch list, for instance, and say, boy, I'm going to watch that horse and I'm going to bet that horse next time out, you just bet him because he's that horse, you're making a tragic mistake. You bet that horse if the reason he lost the race that made him a horse to watch was because of a certain pace, you see he's going to face an ideal pace for him today, then you not only watch him, you bet him. Think races and not horses. That's the secret of Bradshaw's success. Bradshaw could care less about the horse. He looks at the matchup and then he says, there's no one's going to beat this guy. Oh, Jimmy, come on, that horse is only 20-1. He can't beat this. Sure is. This horse going to die here and this horse going to... That's how he does it. Most of us can't do it, do they? So we have to use a computer program to do it. Matchup is best represented, both Jimmy's and my ability to use it is represented in the genetic generator. Jimmy says, I'll never try to teach the matchup again. Nobody understands it. They look at the second call and says, well, this horse can't be a 47, 45, and 2. I'll throw him out. Well, that's not where it stops. The matchup starts from the gate and ends with the wire. Most people don't accept that. Those who have not seen the kinetic generator in operation will have a treatment store for them today. See what it does. It is a program that takes the horse by 330-foot increments. Watson across the screen, relationship to his contender. And that's the most important thing, how it does in relationship to his contender. Those of you who missed it, the only qualification we asked for in the genetic generator, other than just some common sense, in ABV and class is that the horse have a track adjusted speed rating within one of the mean of the other contenders. Later on, Tom Hamill is going to tell you how to adjust speed ratings by track in this circuit. So you'll know what an 80 is at every track. Let us say we have five horses. We have a 79, an 81, 80, 78, and an 82. Right, roughly, what is the, that's your, those are your contenders. What is the, roughly, what's the mean speed rating of those contenders?
80.
Would you accept 70? Somebody add it up. If you want to do really average it, go ahead. These were all adjusted, and that was what it was. That horse qualified as a